good for the robe to be clean that all kinds of water are used. We must clarify the principle that there is a fish in dirty water. It is good for the robe to clean that all kinds of water are used means water of a body mind, water of the practice, water of enlightenment, water of nirvana, water of life and death, water of delusion and enlightenment, water of washing your face, water of having a breakfast. Anywhere we have to constantly wash our bodies, our mind, because body, mind, practice, the enlightenment, nirvana, life and death, and delusion and enlightenment, all are Dharma nature, means complete what counts. So, we can use all kind of water. We must clarify the principle that there is a fish in dirty water. If you use the clear water, so-called body, mind, and practice, and the enlightenment, nirvana, life and death, and the zazen, and gesho, etc., the moment when you use it, water is contaminated. But you are already soaked in water, so you cannot escape. And also in dirty water, there is practice of washing your bodies, washing your clothes. Even though water become contaminated by clothes, anyway, it is washing constantly. I told you before, when you climb the mountain, before, in the distance, if you look at the Mount Fuji, it is beautiful. It's really beautiful. So you really inspired to climb the mountains, that mountain. So you start to climb the mountain means that you start to wash, you know, with the mountains, Fuji Mountain, because it's beautiful, clean, clean water. But when you start to climb the mountain, water becomes contaminated because hard work. Just hard work. Sometimes nothing. Sometimes risking your life. Fear. Animals. Exhaustion. Sores. Pains. So completely, Mount Fuji is contaminated. But if you are so clean, water, mountains. But under, in this dirty water, so-called hard work and easy work and the feeling bad, feeling good, but under the water, there is a fish. So-called perfect beauty of the mountain there. So all you have to do is just climb the mountain. So just climb the mountain means preserving, anyway, preserving the seed of the great mountaineer. Completely beyond your right or dislike. If you want to be mountaineer, you have to climb the mountains. Constantly wash with the water. So called Mount Fuji. Anywhere, wash. So very naturally, water becomes dirty. But by this dirty water, you can be anyway, washed. And finally, you can see a great mountaineer. Even though you don't know. People say you are a great mountaineer. But even though people say you are a great mountaineer, you don't satisfy. So still you feel immature. So you constantly climb the mountain. If you do it, finally, beyond the criticism or reputations from the society, from the people, you just climb the mountains constantly. That person is called great mountaineer, expert. Well, whatever you do, mountaineer, painter, or teacher, whatever you do, that is a perfect ripe, okay? Perfect ripe. I say ripeness, three kinds of ripeness. Okay. One, first one is ripe fruit on the branch, okay? Just a persimmon. It's ready to eat. It's ripe. The fruit on the branch, okay? That is the first. First ripe. In other words, attain enlightenment. your practice is matured, very natural, you experience something anyway. The next, you have to polish your experience again and again, very naturally, that persimmon becomes red and ripe. That is ready to eat. Then, if you leave it more on the branch, the persimmon becomes completely ripe and falls down to the ground naturally, and all guts of the persimmon comes up. You understand? That is a third ripe, type of ripeness. Maturity. Do you understand? The third type, according to the third type of maturity, you can climb the mountain constantly beyond criticism, reputations from the society, from the people. You don't care. You listen to. You are really accept smoothly. But you are not sway away. Everything comes to you, but everything becomes digested and become energy. So that's just climbing the mountain constantly. So all guts up means nothing to hold on. So he is accepting many things and just climbing the mountain. According to the second type of maturity, well, still it's ready to eat, means still arrogance there. I am ready to teach. I am ready to be a priest, it's there. I am ready to give you something. That is ripeness, but it's still arrogance there. So that person is very often sway away by reputation and criticism by the people, by society. Now first, according to the first type of ripeness is, of course, you know, it's still ripe. It is already ripe, but it's not good enough. So you have to learn the rot, suffering rot. Because you don't know how to manifest ripeness in your everyday life, practically. You don't know how to make it arrive. So lots of stumbling over there. Even though you attain enlightenment, even though your life is mature, it's not good enough. So very naturally, our practice is just to continue to practice in terms of third type of ripeness, constantly. That is preserving the seed of crops. So, that's why in the last sentence, anyway, Dogen Zenji kindly tell us, anyway, it is good for the robe to be clean, that all kinds of water are used everyday life anyway, using the Dhamma nature, using the body, mind, and the practice and the enlightenment, diligence, life and death, no wash, anyway wash. But when you wash, we must clarify the principle. This is the truth. Anyway, whoever you are, that there is a fish in dirty water. Your water becomes dirty. But in dirty water, there is very clearly, there is a fish. There is perfect Buddha nature there. So all you have to do is, anyway, no matter what situation happens, dirty water, clean water, delusion, enlightenment, stand up straight, just to keep going, climbing mountain. That is our practice. Taking care of your body, taking care of mountains, taking care of anyway people around you, that is taking care of storage for preserving crops.
When we're sitting zazen and doing shikin taza, just following our breath, is that zazen contaminated too?
You don't think so?
Hmm?
You don't think so? Why do you ask me? That question is already dirty water. Did you think so? Because you see already dirty water, that's why you make a question like that. Don't you? If you just take care of your breath with oneness, I don't think it's necessary to ask, you know, because it's exactly breath you is exactly with you constantly. But when you even study some space, you know, to look at the breath objectively, water becomes dirty. Okay? That's why hard work or very the hard work, good breathing, good concentration on the breath and the following the breath, many things come up. Don't you think so?
So, is wholeheartedly following the breath something like the clean robe that's been washed, but then constantly, you know, washing it again?
Sure. Whatever you think. I am ready to clean. I am already clean. That is already arrogant. Don't you think so? So if you see, I am already clean means you already see the cleanness in the objectively. So it's not really clean. So very naturally, and you have to clean the cleanness. You have thought. In other words, I said, don't think. So you try to not think. And then in the process of practicing, you can see the little space. You don't think, you know. Then you say, I got it. But it's already dirty water. If you say, I got it, it's already you thinking. Don't you think so? It's very quiet.
don't quite understand what you're talking about the persimmon. You said when the persimmon is just on the tree, it's like saying I'm ready.
Yeah, second type.
Oh, the second one is like saying I'm ready.
Ready to eat.
So there's arrogance there?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but in the third type, when it falls on the ground and everything just kind of comes gushing out.
Mm-hmm. That is completely beyond the arrogance or itself. But if you eat it, very tasty. Very tasty. You'll never taste the persimmons. Very soft, and right after, you know, the persimmon falling, you know, fall down the, you know, ground, and all guts gushing out, you know, and they eat it. It's very tasty.
Is it possible that that happens many small times during practice, mm-hmm. and then it's also a pattern for a whole life, or for a whole journey to enlightenment? You know, it happens small times.
Small time of.
I mean, it may happen many times over and over again. Right. The three stages of rightness.
Mm-hmm. Well, between the first and the second, there are many, many small times of rightness. Okay? Countless number.
Yeah, that's what
your picture of preserving the seed, like in Story of Saha, I don't think I understand how that's different than protecting oneself.
It's not protecting oneself.
Right. How is it not?
That's why I say usually we protect subject. At that time, you don't want immediately. If you try to protect the subject, very naturally there is the object. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So that's why if you want to protect subject, very naturally you want to keep away from object. Who interrupts you or what interrupting, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is consciously or unconsciously we do. We do, very natural. That's why not preserve, not the protecting self. On the other hand, not to keep away from object. If you keep away from object, you have to always clean yourself. So that is aggressive. Aggressive. Constantly. Do you understand? So you don't fix up, you don't make a perfect storage around. You understand?
And that's where the little hole.
In the hole, there are the, you know, the you don't take care of the holes in the storage. You always keep a subject, protect the subject, and protect or keep away from the object always. But between, you don't care. So whatever happens, you understand?
Is there just like a real thin edge between those two, and that's where
I don't mean this. Yeah, maybe you can temporarily think that.
How long can I think
that? How long? Because I use a storage, so a storage there, you know. This house, if you want to live this house, how can you live in peace? Okay? First of all, you want to protect yourself inside? So you always looking at the outside? Or insect around here, and are you always cleaning this? Don't you? Or you always looking outside, and then always pick the rats and birds and the, in the morning zazen, and you pick up and throw it away. Always you do. If you want to live inside in peace, well, if you want to live in peace in this house, anyway, why don't you take care of this house? And then you can live in peace. Quite different, don't you?
Okay.
That is a preserved practice. Practice is in peace doesn't mean completely in peace, like taking a nap. It doesn't mean that. Do you understand? Living in peace means in Japanese, the Japanese will, that's the letter is very interesting. Or, you know. And also mind. Autumn and mind. That is called real being concerned. Be concerned about it. It's interesting, isn't it? Okay. So living peace and harmony is not taking a nap. It's concerned about it. To be concerned about it. You know, with that concerned about it means very compassionate, very kind. So taking care of this house, that is living peace. But people don't understand this one. If you say, oh, in peace, just a peace. Just like a taking a nap. I don't think taking a nap, it's not peace. It's a sleeping peace. You know? Peace must be alive. Interconnected, interpenetrated with all sentient beings.
Maybe it's kind of a stupid question, but why we like peace so much? Here we are staying here and watching the war for 5 days, and you are still saying, even you have to practice a lot and for life. Then life after life, to get some kind of peace and harmony. But emptiness tell you, even you practice, you maybe not going to get something like that. And still we want to do those things. Is that obvious that we like peace and harmony?
Yeah, we like a piece of peace and harmony. Naturally and basically, completely beyond your speculations, human nature, original nature is very peaceful and harmonious, regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not. If I say so, people will grasp it, hold on to it, attach to it. That means you already hold of it in your hand. That means attachment. So it's that looks like making water dirty. No? But it's not already now peace. So real peace is holding on and let it go. Anyway, let it go. Be peaceful practically. When? At the place you are while moving at the deep cause of practice. When you do gassho, within the gassho, this is a place, this is an opportunity, occasions. We can have a peace. We can be in peace, in harmony. What? Good. And then within this, you must be peace. Gassho must be peace. Alarm must be peace anyway. Don't you think so? That is called peace. But if I say so, within the gassho there is a peace. We already grasp it, you know. And understand it, the peace, idealistically, intellectually. So peace is conceptualized. That is already making the water dirty. Mm-hmm. But real peace is, if you understand the peace like that, do it. Means let it go. You have to let it go, and practically you have to create. You have to let the flower of peace blooms day to day. Okay? So we are Buddhas. Why we have to practice like this always? We are peace, we are harmony, originally. If so, why we have to do? Okay. You understand?
How long now did Tosan and Unga?
Tosan and Unga?
Yeah. Is mm-hmm. that person who lived in the hut?
Oh, Unga, yeah. Unga.
Had they known each other for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
And well, you told that story before, but I didn't remember that Tozan burned down Ingan's hut.
Mm.
But he did.
He did.
Mm.
Maybe he did. Yeah, I'd say he did anyway. Well, even though his story, even though he didn't burn anyway hot, but in the deep sense, anyway, he did it. Because he said, you are still creating us through what cold water blows in. Mm. That means he always creating cracks, you know, through what angels are invited.
Had to go back to the monastery
to have a meal and etc. If he didn't burn out. If he did burn out, he has to completely go back.
Could you say something about the practice of mindfulness in daily life? I'm a little bit confused about what it is now that you explained.
When I went to Milwaukee and I talked about the Tibetan groups asking me to talk about them, so I talked. And at that time, mother and the little boys on the chair and listened to my talk. Now on the way to talk, he said, "Mommy, I don't understand what he is talking about." Everyone laughed. What do you think about mindfulness?
You said something earlier in the week that your mind is full of mindfulness, and that's not mindfulness.
Mm-hmm. Because
because you already have subject.
Yeah, mindfulness must be there anyway, alive. Okay. By mindfulness, you can try to create something that is already subject to an object, dualistic. But mindfulness must be something alive, means mindfulness itself is peace, peaceful, mindful, okay? Perfectly. That is called, you should open mindfulness. You should leave mindfulness. You should leave the trace of the mindfulness, right? You understand?
No trace.
No trace. Because you have to do. You have to be exactly right there in mindfulness.
Okay? Can you know you're there?
Yeah, you can know. That is called wisdom. Wisdom. You, by wisdom you can know. But still, by the wisdom, if you know it, it's already something dead. So real mindfulness is something alive, constant. That is, you don't know. So only mindfulness knows how mindfulness is called. That is so-called living fish, living fish. Okay? So living fish is water, and water is exactly moving, okay? When the fish move, so not separate, but our eyes, with the naked eyes, always separate. But real meaning of swimming of a fish is constantly oneness between water and fish. There is a one, the same, and one movement. Same apply to the mindfulness. Okay? So mindfulness is, simply speaking, mindfulness. For instance, if you see the book and deal with the book, or the book with the mindfulness.